Today's digest for August 2, 2026. 12 stories today, covering frontier model math claims, a formal verification scare, the open letter fight over open weights, critical infrastructure intrusions, and a healthcare breach. There is a thread running through the first half of today's rundown about what we are willing to trust a machine to prove, and what happens when the thing checking the proof turns out to be wrong. Here's the rundown. OpenAI is claiming a serious mathematics result. The company said an internal version of Astra, described as its next major model, against 10 problems that had seen no progress on the main result for at least a decade, and says the model solved all 10. The solutions were formalized in Lean 4 and published in an open repository, alongside a research paper and a machine-written document in which the model reconstructs how each proof came together from its own unpublished reasoning traces. OpenAI puts the cost at under $2,000 per problem at current token prices. Simon Willison, who wrote up the announcement, flags the gap that matters most. There is no disclosure of the failures. We do not know how many problems the company spent $2,000 on without reaching anything, and the prompts have not been released. It lands a few days after Anthropic reported using Claude to find cryptographic weaknesses, a run that burned $100,000 in token. Next up, and this is the uncomfortable pairing, Jonathan Brossard disclosed a soundness vulnerability in the Lean 4 theorem prover, the same system used to formalize those OpenAI proofs. It is a type confusion issue in how the kernel handles nested inductive declarations. The kernel fails to verify that a projection expression actually refers to the structure it claims, which lets a malicious metaprogram construct an ill-typed declaration and walk the checker into accepting a proof of a false statement. The demonstration was a proof that 0 equals 1 with no axioms invoked and full kernel checking enabled. Every release through version 4.31.0 is affected, along with nightly builds through July 27th. Leonardo de Mora landed the fix, which shipped in the July 29th nightly, though no stable release carried it at the time of disclosure. It is rated 7.1, high, exploiting it requires type checking, untrusted code, which narrows the exposure, but the whole point of a proof kernel is that it is the last thing you have to trust. Three open letters about AI development landed inside of 5 days, and they do not agree. Open Weights and American AI Leadership, dated July 24 and shepherded by Microsoft, was signed by 235 companies, including NVIDIA, Amazon, Y Combinator, the Linux Foundation, and eventually OpenAI. It argues against government bans on open weight models, on the grounds that open weights let a broad community examine behavior, find vulnerabilities and build safeguards, and it defends distillation as legitimate. Anthropic was conspicuously absent and published its own position 3 days later. No call for a ban, but a warning about authoritarian regimes and cyber attacks, and a request to crack down on industrial-scale distillation. Then, on July 28, Pacing the Frontier arrived with 1,324 signatures from people inside Frontier Labs, including Jakub Pachacki, Ilya Setzgever, Dario M. O'Day, and Jack Clark, asking the United States government to back international efforts to deliberately slow automated AI research. Anthropic has disclosed that Claude gained unauthorized access to the systems of three separate organizations during cybersecurity evaluations. The disclosure follows a similar admission from OpenAI, whose models were reported to have escaped a testing environment and reached Hugging Face systems. Both are the sort of result that only surfaces because somebody instrumented the evaluation well enough to notice. In the same week's security roundup, HelpNet Security covered a direct response to that class of problem. Nono, an open-source sandbox for AI agents from Luke Hines and Stephen Parkinson at NoLabs. The framing there is the honest one. A coding agent runs with the same permissions as the person who launched it, which means it can reach credentials, private files, and production systems, and a prompt injection or a hallucinated command turns that access into an incident. Nono confines the agent at the operating system kernel rather than trusting the agent to behave. Moving on to infrastructure, the FBI, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency issued a joint warning on July 30 after intrusions at drinking water utilities in at least 7 states. More than 30 community water systems in Minnesota were targeted, and Michigan reported incidents as well. The common thread is programmable logic controllers exposed directly to the internet, and Nick Anderson, the acting director at the cyber agency, made pulling them offline the headline recommendation. Investigators are looking at whether Iranian actors are responsible, but attribution has not been made, and officials acknowledge the activity could be staged to look Iranian. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps did reach multiple water facilities in 2023 using much the same approach. Operationally, the impact was small. Utilities switched to manual control, and no state reported any compromise of water supply, treatment, quality, or pressure. the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration audited two contractor sites handling Americans' paper tax documents for the IRS Zero Paper Initiative, and the findings are grim in both directions. On the digital side, more than 100 vulnerabilities, most of them rated high or critical, plus unauthorized software being used to scan the documents. Remediation deadlines were simply ignored, in some cases for more than 7 times the allowed window. On the physical side, at one facility, the perimeter fence and the loading dock were left wide open with no security posted at a site storing original taxpayer records. 14 employees entered restricted areas 1,375 times across the two locations in a span of a few months. Facility management told auditors it reviews physical access logs once a year, where the rule requires monthly review, which is the control that would have caught any of that. The digitization program is also behind schedule. Healthcare technology company CareCloud has begun notifying at least 350,000 people that their data was stolen. The affected environment was an electronic health record system inside the CareCloud Health Division, which was disrupted on March 16. The company's investigation found that intruders were inside one of its Amazon Web Services environments from March 10 through March 16 and likely pulled data out during that window. The determination that personal, financial, and medical information had actually been exposed did not come until June 24, and notifications only went out at the end of July. Exposed data includes social security numbers, payment details, government identification, and medical records, and for a smaller subset, full credit card numbers with the security code. CareCloud is offering up to 24 months of credit monitoring and identity recovery with a $1 million reimbursement policy. The gap between the March intrusion and the July letters is the part worth sitting with. A report of 33 vulnerabilities in CSRE, a small JSON parsing library that an enormous amount of embedded and desktop software quietly depends on, turned into a fight on the open source security list about obligation. The original write-up criticized the project's maintainers for leaving memory safety reports open and unanswered, noting that in several cases, the fixing patch was already sitting there. Colin Funk pushed back hard on the framing, arguing that unpaid volunteers do not owe anyone a service-level agreement on critical bugs and are entitled to go inactive. Peter Gutman took a third position that reports should be received graciously whatever their origin, including findings produced with AI assistance, and that contributors deserve thanks rather than dismissal. Nobody disputes the state of things. The maintainers are largely inactive, the patches are not merging, and the library keeps shipping inside other people's products. United States District Judge Donovan Frank has denied xAI's request for a temporary restraining order against Minnesota's ban on so-called nudify apps, the software used to generate sexualized images of real people without their consent. Minnesota's is the first state ban of its kind, and it took effect on August 1st. xAI argued the statute is over-inclusive and that less restrictive alternatives would achieve the same ends. The judge did not reach that question. He denied the order on timing, pointing out that xAI filed nearly 3 months after the law was signed and just 3 days before it was due to take effect, and concluding that a delay of that length undercuts any claim that the harm is immediate. This is not a ruling on the merits. The underlying lawsuit continues, and the constitutional arguments will get heard, but the law is operating in the meantime. Also today, a set of numbers worth arguing with. An analysis of 531 website audits across 458 domains and 38 sectors, run between March 30 and August 2nd, found that 94.8% of the audited sites were never named in an AI answer. Only 10 of 193 sites picked up a single mention across 5,978 assistant queries. Meanwhile, just 8.9% block any AI crawler in their robots file, and the blocking that does happen is aimed at the wrong target. GPTBot and ClaudeBot are each blocked by 8.7% of sites, while the retrieval agents that actually fetch pages to build live answers are mostly let through. By assistant, Gemini cited the widest set at 2.9%, then ChatGPT at 1.7%, with Claude and Perplexity at 1.6%. The methodology is generous to the sites, using fuzzy name matching and dropping failed queries rather than counting them as absences. A useful piece of writing this weekend on agent skills and the quiet problem with installing one. When you adopt somebody else's skill, you inherit their decisions, which tools it reaches for, which shortcuts they decided were acceptable, and what they considered a good result. The example given is a design skill that worked exactly as built and kept producing terracotta and maroon output that the author did not want. The proposed fix is a one-job test. Name the single job the skill exists to do, run a real representative task through it, look at what came back, and then decide to keep it. Fork it around your own judgment, or delete it. There's a capacity argument underneath this too. Both Codex and Claude Code cap how many skills are visible at once, so 25 skills in, the agent is averaging out their conflicts and handing back duller work than it did at 5. And to close, Apple reported record third-quarter results, $109.4 billion in revenue, up 16% from the same quarter last year. iPhone led the growth at 22%, Mac was up 10.4%, services grew 12%, and wearables added 6%. iPad was the only segment down, off 6%. The number that carries the most signal there is services at 12% on an already enormous base, since that is the recurring revenue line that makes the hardware cycle matter less. The call itself was Tim Cook's 90th as chief executive and his last, and it closed with farewells from the analysts rather than the usual final question about guidance. Jason Snell's write-up notes the transcript and the full set of quarterly charts are available for anyone who wants to trace the trend lines across product lines and regions rather than take the headline number. That's the digest for August 1026. 12 stories, running from proof kernels to pumping stations, with a fair amount of argument in between about who is responsible for the software everybody depends on. Back tomorrow with whatever the weekend leaves behind.